Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward, and as always, got my homie with me, Mr. Patrick Irvin, right here on the Freedom Train Network. And remember that the Freedom Train Network is brought to you by PACS Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS Inc. is a Black development organization aimed at developing the Black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org, where you can learn more about the organization. If you look at their menu across the top, you can learn more about the codes of conduct, how you can become a member, how you can donate, how you yourself can get involved without even having to become a member. There's a Learning Center tab, which is my favorite. And if you hit the drop down box, there plethora of resources that you can use. Also, make sure you check out the Amazon Smile program in conjunction with PACS Inc. So if you don't know what the Amazon Smile program is, basically it's a program created to help nonprofits raise funds. So you go to Amazon, you sign up for the Amazon Smile program, bam, you choose a nonprofit organization, PACS Inc., P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. You choose PACS Inc., bam, you all signed up. You go regular shopping on Amazon like you would normally do. So let's say you want to go buy a book, you know, Shades of Her, Shades of Him, On the Shoulders of Giants, you know, The Chasm, any of those books out there. You buy your books. Matter of fact, buy all the books at one time, right? You buy all the books, and then a portion of your proceeds actually goes to PACS Inc. So make sure you make that happen, because you can go to Amazon, sign up through the Smile program. You can buy what you want and support an organization that's out here working at the ground level at the same time. So make that happen. It's a blessing and a blessing all in one. There you go. And remember to visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You see it scrolling across the bottom of the screen. It's our home for our wonderful podcast by myself, Joseph Ward, Mr. Patrick Irvin, Lessons from the Screen. Shout out to Shelby Davis and Queen Candace with Shelby's World. Shout out to Enigma September with the Enigma Step Out. All right. So today we have a returning guest. We are catching up with a person who basically, when we were first starting out, basically we were all first starting out at the same time. This is early 2015. A mutual friend, Keith Taylor, told me about this young lady who had just written a book, and she was on her journey as a speaker, on her journey as an author, and just growing through life as well. So her name is Miss Kushibra Taylor. She's a native of Memphis, Tennessee, and she now resides in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a gifted, anointed woman who God has called to the ministry of teaching, empowerment, and assisting others in discovering their existence in life. She's a certified leadership and visions coach. She has spent a lot of time just going on her journey, just learning, speaking, growing, teaching, and reaching many, many people from her platform through the years of 2015 and on over to 2020. And she's doing even more greater things now. And she's just released a new book not too long ago. And so when I saw that the new book was released, I said, okay, we got to reach back out. We got to catch back up, because we got to do a better job of catching back up. But all in all, she is a wonderful person and somebody that we've been able to see who shined a light of sunshine on a lot of people. So once again, Ms. Kushibra Taylor, how you doing today?
I am great. Thank you all so much for having me.
No problem. No problem. Welcome. Welcome back to the train, to the Freedom Train. And like I say, it's definitely great to see you, to hear from you, and to have you back as a guest.
Thank you.
No problem. So we're going to do it like we always do it. Patrick, behave yourself. And I hope you've taken your medicine, because you got the first question.
I have not taken my medicine, and I will not be held down or dictated to or told to behave myself. Because you, sir, have not done what you were supposed to do. But it's another conversation for another day. Miss Taylor, what's good with you? How you been the last 5 years? How have you been this last 5 years?
Oh,
that's
wow.
My first question.
Well, I could actually start off by saying that I've been growing. I have grown a whole lot. My perspective has changed. I'm like Joe mentioned that this is I'm a returning guest, and as I'm looking at the Freedom train strolling at the bottom, I'm like, wow, now I really feel like I'm a part of.
we to change some things.
Hey, listen, I'm really excited, right? So it's just a different perspective that I have now as far as life, how I see things based on some of the things I've actually had to experience, and just taking those things and, like I shared, to create content, create a safe space for individuals to actually find, you know, their happy space and, of course, their freedom as well. So that's what I've pretty much been working on, but not just working on helping others. But I realize that my personal space and mental health is very important as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So that's what my 5 years have been. Of course, I'm still yet working. I remember being in college the second year, and one of my professors said, I've been working on myself for 35 years. And I just chuckled. You know, I was like, what is wrong with her? And it doesn't take that long. And so I realized that, you know, every day we are discovering who we are, you know, right. Why we were created, what we love to do, what is our purpose, whatever it is, what, you know, why am I even here? Because most of the time we're not even really living life. We're really just existing, trying to find a way to survive. So I actually, you know, that professor changed my life. You know, and I said, okay, I understand why she said that. And I'm sure those 30 something years have turned into more years now, but I get it. It's an ongoing journey and something that you have to consistently do.
Right. Yeah. I look at it like in terms of working out. So if I want to maintain a specific look or weight, then I need to consistently work out on a regular basis. Yeah. So kind of putting that to working on yourself. If I want to continue to get better, I need to work on myself on a regular basis. Like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So are my 5 years thus far.
That's what's up.
Thus far.
So let's kind of revisit some things real quick. For those who this may be their first time hearing from you, and you should have watched the first interview, but what really inspired you to take this journey of empowerment? How did you get started with this whole journey of yours?
Well, actually, I'm the eldest of five girls. I have no brothers. So I've always been in a leadership position. I have a journey, a long, long line of nieces and nephews. Uh-huh. So when my children were actually younger and they were in school, I was always a part of an after school program, before school program. I always volunteered, and until I actually became a director over summer program and also my own daycare and also, let's see, homeschooling my girls. Uh-huh. And so I realized the importance of a child. Not just being a mother, but a leader in the community. And so when I was growing up, I always had community leaders, and some of our community leaders used to walk to school with us because they stayed in the same neighborhood that we stayed in. And so I never really understood the impact that was on my life until I became an adult and I no longer saw those community leaders. And so once I got into ministry, I started off working with children. And I used to wonder, I have five children of my own. And I was like, listen, I'm not volunteering any extra work to be working with nobody else's kids. And then my nieces and nephews won't go home. And so that means I have to watch somebody else's children as well. But when I tell you, it was something that was always there inside of me. I felt like I had a responsibility of helping the children as they were younger, because I realized even from my own experiences, a lot of these different things and the seeds that are actually planted, it's not when they are adults, it's when they're children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether the seeds are good, bad, challenging, they just pretend they start growing as you get older, right? Mm-hmm. And so the only way you're able to find out what happened is actually going back. So I've had the honor of working with children. And so it started there, and I realized that the parents started to come because the children's perspective started to change. And when they would go home, The parents want to know, who is this Miss Taylor? Why is she telling you all these different things? You know, and they were pumped like they were being nosy, but I know they just wanted a piece of what the children were experiencing. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing my own curriculum, which I didn't believe that I could do. And it had a lot to do with a lot of things that were actually spoken over my life or in my life when I was actually younger. So a lot of times I didn't think that I was able to do those things. I remember wanting to be an English teacher. And my sixth grade teacher told me that I'd never be anything. No one would ever want to hear anything that I have to say. And so along with some of the things that I went through, I carried that with me. So, of course, I help individuals from a quiet space of not saying anything, but I allow my actions to speak louder than my words, because I always felt like I never had permission to speak. And so it actually started, that empowerment journey started with working with children. And so the children actually, with their excitement, they started going home and telling their mom. So that's when the women empowerment came. And so, of course, the women start to change, and then their boyfriends and husbands want to know, who is this, right? You know, every time my children come home, they want to know. And so, and it started to get the fathers excited. So they wanted to know, you know, the fathers who were a part of their children's lives. And then there were some that were not a part of the children's lives, where the children started talking to them, and they started showing up, volunteering. And so it gave me the opportunity to create programs for those parents who did not have what our communities were able to offer, whether they were training programs, GED program, whatever it was, even just getting me together, you know, growing more as far as an individual, whatever it was. So I didn't point the finger at them. I wanted to create a different space. So that was the beginning part of the empowerment for me. And it started in my hometown in Memphis, Tennessee. And so I've been carrying it from there.
That's awesome. Now, it's important that we understand how our vision of ourselves really impacts our actions. Because I understand where you were when you said you didn't believe that you could create a curriculum. I remember being in that space until Patrick and another group of people that we were working with was like, here, I'm gonna put you in charge of this part of the curriculum. And I'm sitting there like, man, first of all, I've never done a curriculum. Y'all sure y'all want me to do it? But then I had to, you know, think about it. Well, I know how to research. I love history. I know all these things. So just do it. And sometimes in doing things that can help build your confidence as well.
Also having those individuals around you that see you, right? Even sometimes when we don't see ourselves, because that opportunity came from a pastor in Memphis, Tennessee. He came in like, Kishibra, I think you will be phenomenal with the children. I was like, if he don't leave me alone. I got all this stuff going on in my life. I'm trying to find out. I have questions, and you're telling me that this opportunity is for me. But when I actually look back at having that opportunity, I start off as an after school teacher and I'm working with him and end up being the daycare director. I didn't have not one degree. But when I tell you, I used my experience that I had, went in, the 3 stars were the highest that you could actually get within the first 3 months. We had 3 stars. I wrote my own curriculum. I trained my own staff, and this had nothing to do with me going to college or having certain training based on an institution. It was just the gifts that I already had inside of me. Yep. I just needed an opportunity to actually share those gifts, and he gave me that opportunity.
Right.
Well, having the right people around you that could actually see what it is. And sometimes we even know it's there. We're just not ready for anybody else.
You need that push. That was your college. That was your training program right there. Actually, you got something better than college.
Oh, their hands-on experience was something serious now. But as I look back now, I was actually building a safe space for someone else to come behind me. And that center is still open. Even as I look now, if there was someone that was in it 20 years longer than I was and never, ever had the experience that I started off with. And so I'm appreciative, you know, when I have those opportunities like that, because I know that I'm a legacy builder. A lot of times I go in just to start some, you know, start whatever it is. And sometimes people want me to stay long and I'm like, hey, and I just come in to help you get started. And some assignments I have, I come in to help, you know, individuals get finished. But that has a lot to do with knowing who you are and exactly. your responsibility when it comes to individual assignments and also the lives of individuals as well.
Exactly. Exactly. It also sets you up for where you are now in life, though. You were building foundations. I don't know if you knew it then, but you were building foundations for where you are now.
Yes.
And for the creation of All Visions Empowerment.
Yes.
So could you tell us about All Visions Empowerment and like what's been going on? How have you guys have been progressing through the years?
Actually, let me tell you how All Visions actually started. It actually started about 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
All Visions is an acronym. And of course, you know, I use a lot of acronyms because
it's all good.
That's that English teacher that she told me that I could be, you know, right. I found another access point for me to be able to use different words to create opportunities to teach individuals different ways to break down a word and not be limited to educating yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so All Visions is an acronym for Anointed Led with Life, Victorious Individuals Soaring in on Natural Spirits. And what that means is, I firmly believe that everything that we need is already inside of us. Yeah. A lot of times that we're not able to get to those particular areas because we believe that certain schools, certain people have to give us what we need. What they do is they actually give us the water. They're part of pouring into allowing that seed to come forth. And so sometimes what we do is we depend on the schools, we depend on these different people. Sometimes people depend on church to be that person or that water, that sprout to actually pour into. Even though they are a part of the journey, the water does not come from that particular place. Okay. And so sometimes what we do is we get so stuck and waiting on a certain person to give us what we already have. And right. So one of the things that I've actually realized, and I teach my girls and others, is you already have what you need. Let's find out what you actually have. Let's see what it is that you like doing, right? When I was a child, I always played teacher with they were like my children because I was
your friends,
but my sisters. And yeah. I didn't even realize 2 weeks ago, my sister was telling me, she said, "You remember you used to be the pastor?" I was like, "Lord, if I knew that." She said, "You remember you used to be the principal?" I was like, "No, I remember being a teacher." And it's amazing how I've been afforded so many different opportunities based on what I was doing when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And all I had was imagination. I didn't have what we look at as far as vision, right? I had imagination. That's all I had to hold on to. And so right. what we do as far as All Visions, now we started off as a dance ministry. And so it was myself, my son, actually mom, my two nephews, mom, and my girls actually were liturgical dancers. So we used to travel all over Memphis and just going to bless individuals. We'll show up and be a part of the program, just blessing, just with our gifts. None of us were actually taught how to dance. I always allowed it to be a safe space so the girls could actually show me what it is that they see, right? Mm-hmm. And so, because I wanted to know what they saw as far as their vision, not just teaching them what I saw. I wanted to see what it is that they actually saw. So I allowed them to incorporate what it is that they actually envisioned while they were younger. And so that's how we came up with our dances. And so our visions went from a dance ministry to a salon. And so I had an All Vision stylist station in Memphis, Tennessee, right? And so I had no clue. And like you said, it was building bridges from where I am now. I had no clue. I was just trying to stay sane. You understand?
Uh-huh.
I was staying in a place that I did not go crazy because of some of the things I was going through. And so all over the years, I was writing and taking notes of different things that I was doing, love doing, helping individuals do. And so that's how we came to All Visions Enterprise, which is our business side, and also All Visions Empowerment Center, which is right. our ministry side. And so we started off, of course, a platform online, but we also do these different things. Of course, we started in, everything started in Memphis. The business side actually started in Georgia. And so now we're able to travel to take those particular areas wherever it is that we go. So, of course, we empower, we inspire, and we encourage individuals to become and be the best you that you were created to be.
There you go. There you go, Patrick. You sign up right now because I've been trying to help you.
No, you haven't. You've been holding me back.
Whatever.
You've been to college in my life. Oh, okay. Is that a good analogy? I don't think so.
Okay.
How do you? I'm curious. I know you say you were trying to stay sane. How were you able to just keep moving as far as like all of these different, like you just, what you described was a lot, and the path I'm sure was a lot to go through. How were you able to keep moving through all of that and not find yourself like stuck or like second guessing or doubt? How were you able to do that?
Okay, so like I was sharing, when I was a little girl, I had imagination, right? Mm-hmm. I would always imagine myself out of these situations. I always felt that there was something greater than my present place. I knew that there was a journey for me. I knew there was another part of this life outside of being depressed at the age of 7 years old, not knowing what it was. I had no clue of what faith was. All I knew is my granny would always, she was the epitome of, when I tell you, an essence of an aroma, whereas even though when I didn't see it, I felt it, okay? And so she would always encourage me, even in her silence, she would always encourage me and let me know it's going to be all right, baby. And for many reasons, I believed her. I had nothing in my vision at all to show that it was going to be all right. Coming from the place of being, you know, dealing with molestation, incest, all different types of abuse, verbal, physical, like sexual, dealing with all those different things. And it all started at the age of 7. And so those seeds were actually planted when I was a little girl. And I didn't know until as I began to get older, those seeds began to start growing. And when they started to grow, the opportunities came, but I was so fearful and I was so scared that if I ever stepped into one of those opportunities, something bad was going to happen. And so the only thing I held on to for one as I got older was that name, All Visions. I didn't have anything, nothing was in place. All I had was All Visions. I prayed one day and said, I want something for me. I want something for my family. I want something for my children. I need something. Growing up in the projects, it almost, and where I was actually from in Memphis, Tennessee, was a project called Hurt Village, right? Mm-hmm. And so dealing with all the drugs and the prostitution, that was no hope. Even when we see the ones who actually made it out of it, we'd be so excited to see each other coming out because everybody didn't make it out of there. Right. And so seeing those particular, individuals and going back and look, it was imagination first. And then it was, of course, my grandma in the middle of encouraging me. But as I became older, it turned into vision. So I knew that even when it turned into vision, I believe that I was promised visions, not just vision, because All Visions is a place where everyone is invited. No one is not invited to the party. You understand? You know how some people are basically, no, you got to think bigger. No, sweetie, if you got a seed, come on, bring it. Right? That's all you see is a color? Come on, bring it. That's all you see is you got a shirt on? Come on, let's sit down and talk. Right? That's the consultant in me. Let me actually, let's just talk. Let's just have a conversation because sometimes we don't know. And sometimes we don't know that we don't know. And sometimes we don't know that we do know. Right? But in the midst of all, it was vision, me seeing myself beyond where I was at that moment and believe that if God blessed me with children after the doctors told me I couldn't have any, oh, you got to tell me that there's something greater than this. It has to be, not just for me, but for them, because there is no way that God would actually bless my womb to actually produce when based on the paperwork, I'm not able to. So I knew it had to be something greater.
Right, right. Their paperwork was limited.
Oh, I wasn't worried about that. I said, okay, that's cool. Yeah. Right. I wasn't worried about that. You can say what you want to say. But when I told you, if this is what you want me to do, and you telling me legacy, that means somebody, I need something, me, that belongs to me to continue to carry when I'm no longer here. So God not only blessed me with one, he blessed me with five to let me know that the grace of God will always be on my life. So that's what allowed me to continue on and keep pushing forward, knowing there has to be something greater.
Look at Pat asking good questions. I see you, Pat. Good questions.
Well, you know.
It's an interview, huh?
We talking.
Right. Right.
And for all of y'all other people, pay attention. This is how you answer questions.
Right. Exactly. So in addition to all visions. Mm-hmm. You have another acronym, another empowerment platform that's based off an acronym that we talked about last time, BAMM Empowerment, B-A-M-M Empowerment. Mm-hmm. And give us, I see you did a little shimmy right there. So I know BAMM got a special place in your heart. So can you give us an update on BAMM and kind of give some people an overview of what BAMM is?
Yes. BAMM is, of course, my baby. BAMM is, of course, under all visions. BAMM is an acronym for beautiful and marvelously made. Right. And of course, empowerment. There's an extra E, mainly because we empower with an extra E. We enrich, we educate. Of course, we do it in excellency. I've actually been to so many conferences, so many workshops, and a lot of times we walk out with nothing in our hands. And so we make sure that we always extra, because I believe that when people are put in my life, when God actually shows up in my life, I'm a special case. He do extra stuff for me. You understand? So I do the same thing for individuals. Right. So BAMM Empowerment actually started, of course, I want to say about 8-9 years ago. BAMM actually was given to me. Every time I know that I'm going from one place to another, even in my growth, God always give me a name first, always. And so that's what I hold on to, okay? So BAMM actually was something that I was allowed to put together, not just for others, but for myself. Because growing up, I was always called the ugly, skinny, bald head girl, right? You'll never be anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of that, right? When people like, come on, kid. No, I was called all of that. You know, not just people on the outside, but family as well. And sometimes we tend to think that they're jokes, but you don't know that those things actually penetrate. And they carry over the years. And when you end up in certain situations, it bothers you. So my confidence was not even that, right? So I didn't even know what that was. I learned how to mask a lot of things. I had low self-esteem, but my personality, because I had to learn how to survive, actually was that personality out in front where it looked like I had high self-esteem, but I didn't. I really didn't. I just learned how to. Some people say, you know, I still say it now, fake it till you make it, right? Yeah. That wasn't my motivation, but it was pretty much in the same boat. So BAMM was something that I wanted to create. This is where our workshops come in, and this is where our webinars come in, and this is also our literary work, as far as my books and anything that we actually do, the workbooks as well, it actually comes up under BAMM. So overall, all visions, we deal with identity, because we want to make sure, baby, you know what you're working with when it comes to your ID, right? When you go down there to the office, I don't care if you're going to get an ID or your driver's license. They want to know your birth certificate. You got to have a birth certificate. They want Social Security. You got to have all this information in order for you to get that one card. And so that one card, when you actually go wherever you go, it tells whoever it is you give it to, whoever you are, right? Without you having to explain anything to them. And so I believe that a lot of us don't even have that ID because we don't know who we are. And so the next one is actually influence. A lot of things that we actually share with others has a lot to do with what comes from inside. And so in the only way you're able to influence someone, because people don't realize influence is not always good. Sometimes it can be bad influence. And sometimes we don't know what we're actually sharing with others. And so we actually help with the influence. What is your influence? Who are you influencing? And so as far as impact is, I am, which is I am, right? And so to know that you know who you are when you actually come to whatever table it is, you know what you actually bring in. It's one of the things I remember that I think that was T.D. Jakes. I was wondering, what do I do with this next season of my life? And now it's time for me to go to the table when I once felt like I would never be invited to the table because I didn't have a certain degree, because I wasn't smart enough. But guess what? The people that were at the table, who you think they were sitting waiting on? I was the one that had to walk in who I was. I was the one that had to find out who I was. And so once I found out who I was, I can go and sit at the table and sit there and not even say anything until it's actually time for me to say something. And so what BAMM actually helps individuals to find their voice, not to just say, okay, I have a voice. No, find your voice. Know how to use it. and know when to use it. Because a lot of times I can sit in a certain room and won't even say anything. And people will look at me and you'll swear up and down. They heard me say something. I hadn't said anything because I know my voice shifts. It actually shifts atmosphere. I know that. I know when I say something, things are going to happen, right? I know that. But that was a place where I told you all earlier that I didn't say anything because I was always feeling nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. And I was told that. So I was quiet for a long time. So that's what BAM empowerment does, help individuals find their voice. And so, of course, you can tell I'm very passionate, of course, about all visions overall. But BAM is me.
Right.
BAM is who I am, my journey, the things that I've actually had to go through and empower. And I had to take those same things and I had to empower myself. So nothing that I create, I just created to make money or say I actually did. No, I still use the same material that I actually share with others as well.
That's good. That's good. That's good. I like that. BAM.
That's me.
See?
That's what's up. I like that. So with BAM, is that something people can do like from distance, or do they have to be nearby, or how does one become a student of BAM?
We actually, it's pretty much all of, as far as our website. You could actually sign up. You know, I'm actually I'm a vision, life, and leadership coach, okay, and also a consultant as well. And so I work with individuals all the time. So I'm just a call or text away.
Okay.
And so now we're actually on the virtual platform. Hey, we can talk about it. We don't have to be face to face, you know, all the time. But I do set up certain opportunities where I do allow us to be able to be face to face because I want them to have that experience of what I've been able to, you know, experience as far as myself. And I want them to know that you don't have to walk this journey by yourself. I think that's why a lot of us do struggle, because we tend to think that we're the only ones that went through it and going through. So I'm very careful when people say, I've been through that. And I'm like, girl, but did you come out though?
There you go.
I want to know if you came out, then we can talk. Because if you're still going through, you're trying to figure this thing out, right? I need to talk to somebody that's actually come out. And because I've come out of those things, I want individuals to know you don't have to go through it by yourself. You don't.
Right. Right. There you go.
Someone that's gone through it, come out of it, and is not ashamed to tell it.
There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go. So through these 5 years, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've managed to write 8 books.
Oh my gosh, it's actually more than 8 now, but.
Okay, okay. How many is it total? How many total books?
Well, actually total now is 17, actually.
Wow.
Yes, so it's been 17. This new book allowed me to open up in a space where it's not just for, of course, women, because the first book was, it's pretty much open, and people tend to think when you see him, it's for him. No, it's an acronym, of course. Even for her, it's an acronym as well. But it's for whomever, you know, wants to read it. And, of course, I have workbooks now, which I'm really excited. So now I have workbooks. I have journals and workbooks. So I'm excited.
Okay. Yeah. So when did True Shades of Her, when was the release date?
Release date was October 23rd.
October 23rd. Okay.
Yes. That was the day that I shared my baby with the world. Yes.
Okay. So, okay. Now, I want you to give people a little bit about the book, but I do want to know, in this new climate, this new now that we're in with COVID, how did you handle your book launch? Like, what did you do for your book launch?
Actually, I did something new. Of course, it was online. Mm-hmm. I invited the individuals who were actually there. This particular book, I knew in advance that I was going to write the book. I knew what the vision was, and I did the photo shoot. Actually, when I had envisioned the cover, I was like, oh yeah, I'm excited. I was like, who's going to actually get this vision? Because I'm a visionary. And so people talk to me all the time. And you can talk to me and I see it, I get it. But I'm like, so who is a part of this particular assignment? And so the excited part about this particular book is I believe that God used what was used during that time when I was a little girl, when I went through all those different types of abuses and, you know, disappointment were actually men. Uh-huh. But God used men to help me with this particular book. My hairstylist was a man. My makeup artist was a man. My design cover was designer was a man. My photographer was a man. Everyone, I only had men to actually help me during this journey. And when I tell right. you, it was actually phenomenal. But the most challenging part for me during this time was I knew I was writing a book. But as I finished my photo shoot, the young man who did my photo shoot grew up in the same projects I did in Memphis, Tennessee. And I did not know that he was residing in Atlanta. Right. And when I shared the vision with him, he was like, hey, sis, I got it. We can do this. And that was April 2018. And I got a call May 1st, 2018, that my 20-year-old son was murdered.
Wow.
Back in Memphis, Tennessee. I was actually on my way down to actually go back to court for my daughters, because my girls were actually taken away from me, because my ex told me that if I ever got married again, that he'll take my children. And so he did.
Wow.
And so, of course, everything seemed like it just went blank for me. And it was a challenge. So, of course, it's taking some time. I felt like I was, oh my gosh, I felt like my heart was cut out of my body. I did not know what to do. I didn't feel like I would actually be able to love again. So it's taken this, you know, as far as this 2 years to recover. And of course I had to get me a therapist to help with business, to push me, to keep, you know, encouraging me. But yes, it's been a journey. It's been a journey, but I'm really excited to say we started off with one book. And then, of course, we end up having a journal. And then, of course, we have a workbook. And now that's how we were able to create our grace journals as well. So I talk right. about the different shades that people actually go through when you go through. You go through because, of course, TRUE is an acronym. Of course, the TRUE, real, underlying effect. Right. That's the when you think about effect, there's always a cause to an effect. And sometimes people are judged based on their effect. But no, sometimes there's a cause. There's a reason why people are acting the way that they're acting. Right?
Right.
And so and then, of course, her is healings, expectations and realizations. So my son's situation, that was a real thing for me. I couldn't fake that. I couldn't right. Ignore that. I couldn't keep on pushing like everything is going to be OK. No, I don't want to move forward. I don't want right. to wear this crown. I don't want to be the queen right now. Right.
Right.
I don't want to do all of these different things that I'm called to do. I don't want to do all of that I'm going through right now.
Right.
And so I share, you know, my journey along with some of the things that I actually went through as a mother, you know, being called minister, all those different things as an individual, because we get caught up in all these titles and we forget that we're human.
Right.
And so I share my human experiences in those things. But how did I take those in those situations, how I've gone from the dark to the light? Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, hold on just a moment.
Wow.
Yes. So it's been a journey. I felt like it was 9 months versus another 9 months. I was like, oh my gosh, will this book ever come? But the time that I thought, because at one time I thought I was ready to release, but I was still living it. I knew 5 years ago, even when we actually talked, I knew the book was coming, but I never knew I had to go through what I had to go through. You know, right. because even as me saying yes to the journey to empower people, to encourage them, to inspire them, never knew that my granny would be, you know, my baby sister in 2010 would actually, you know, I would lose her at the age of 20. Right. And then never knew my granny was, you know, murdered in 2015. And then my son at the age of 20 in 2018. That, oh my gosh, I just knew my heart would not allow me to be open to love again, because that was my first love.
Right.
Some people say, okay, God was my first. I can't say that. My son was my first love, because there were times when I wanted to commit suicide and I was blessed with him. I felt like I was given another chance at life. And so I had to revalue my relationship with God. I had to revalue, because I thought maybe I trusted God with my children. I felt some kind of way. And so I share those stories, it's not just a book about me going just through that. It's just how you go from those dark places and getting to the light and actually walking purposefully and who right. you actually are. You know, that's what the journey is about, you know. And then, of course, my first book was talking about everybody that did all these things, and I went all these things, and I was stuck. Didn't know I was stuck. Mm-hmm. But the second book is about me. I had to look at Qshibra, because Qshibra was in the way. I was the one not accepting opportunities. I was the one that was scared.
Yeah.
I was the one, you know, I'm a lovable person. I love all the time, but I was the one scared to allow someone to love me. And so that's how I end up getting married again. Not to my purpose partner, but just having a husband. Mm-hmm. And so when I couldn't see myself with this person in the future, or this person was not willing to support me, knowing that I'm called to leadership, knowing that I'm not just a woman's empowerment, you know, type of girl. Sometimes right. I'm going to sit and have a conversation with a man, right? And it, even if he do look at me a certain way, it's what I allow to happen. Not just right. him, but I had to learn and growing through the confidence as far as me, self, confidence, not projecting it on anyone else, but myself. What is it that Qshibra need to do? What do I need to work on? And no longer pointing the finger and saying, my mama didn't do this, my daddy didn't do this. No. What is it that Qshibra needs to do? And so that's what I had to learn how to do in order for me to, you know, be the person that I am today. And like I said, I still use those same tools and those same things that I'm sharing with others as well. And so that's how the workbook came along. I don't right. want you to read my story. I'm one that I tell people, don't ask me unless you want to know the truth, because sometimes my truth may be a little wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't always been a church girl. You understand?
Yeah,
you
know, that's real.
The first music, I mean, I may not tell you to play We Fall Down and We Get Up. I may tell you to put on some pop. You understand? So, and that's because music saved my life. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't always gospel music.
You're a whole person.
I'm very soulful. I love creativity of music. I'm a creative. I love to hear the story behind, you know, music. I love even the lyrics. I don't care what they're saying. So I'm just wondering, oh, okay, so she went through some things. Oh, she came out and look what she actually did based on what it is, you know, that she actually went through. She didn't sit there and waddle in her stuff. She didn't sit there, and she probably did in that moment. But guess what? She has something now that she can look at and say, look, this is what I was able to create, not just for me, but also for someone else.
Oh, wow. I know we keep saying wow, but wow, because through all of it, if I'm just talking about my lens, the way I was viewing you and seeing you throughout the years through social media, it didn't look like you went through anything, but that's why you have to get to know people and talk right. to people and learn what's going on, because once you get all the different steps and all the different just the information that you need, then you can really put the whole picture together and understand why you speak with so much passion, understand why you speak with so much love, understand why you move the way you move. You've gone through things and you've grown through things.
Yes.
And you're still here.
Yeah. So,
can't nobody tell you nothing.
Right. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Right.
There you go.
Right. And so you notice that, like I was sharing with you, as far as the voice, I have many opportunities I could have said something. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't time for me to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so I had other things that I was actually doing to make sure when I came to this table this time, I wasn't coming empty handed. I wasn't going back to say, hey, is Q going to show up this time? And so that's what I talk about as far as my synopsis. We always send our representative to go in there, go see what they're doing. Go see what they're, because you're not even confident enough to go in there. No, not anymore. You call for me. Oh, you looking for me? Here I go. You understand?
There you right? go.
That's me, because now I know who I am, right? What I was created to do with no limits, and I no longer apologize. So when I talk to people, I tell them, hey, listen, it may start out, hey, how you doing? And you actually hit that area, I'm very passionate about it. I am, because it's not something I've just gone through, but I've actually come out of it. And I'm sharing with you to let you know that if I have, you can too. You can too. Right. And all, guess what? My family wasn't the one that helped me through it either. Right. It wasn't my blood family. It was people that God actually put in my life to help me, that I could actually call sister. I could actually call brother who actually believed in me, who encouraged me through the midst of it when I didn't even really want to get up in the morning time. When I was actually crawling, not knowing I'm empowering others. And then all of a sudden I end up going to the hospital and they're trying to give me a blood transfusion because I'm so exhausted because I'm helping everybody else. And I'm like, it's something I'm doing wrong. And I realize I'm pouring out to everyone else. And so when it's time for me to get what it is that I need, no one is able to give me what I need. So I have to change my circle.
There you go.
So I know now when I'm around certain individuals, hey, listen, when I'm hungry, I'm going through, I'm near, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. You know, it's okay to encourage me, but I don't want you to feel sorry for me because I have to keep on going. I got to keep moving. But I want you to know that I'm human. I do. I'm not always in leadership. I'm not always in my stilettos, right? I'm not always in my, you know, nice fishnet, my frames. I'm not. No, I wear jeans. First time I posted on Facebook with some jeans on, my inbox was full. You know, and they're like, oh my gosh, we didn't know you wear jeans. I was like, yeah, because y'all too distracted, right?
Yeah, they make those in the store. You know that, right?
Exactly, right? And it's okay for me to wear them. But we put so many, you know, stipulations on what you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to do this. I was so nervous. Oh my gosh, I got to do this. I got to empower people. I got to encourage them. And I can't wear this. I can't wear this. I'm built a certain way. So I had to hide. I used to wear big clothes and hide myself. Who? Now? Honey, no.
It is what it is.
God bless me accordingly. Hey, if you can't handle it, hey, I can't handle it. You understand? Right. But I'm going to embrace every piece and part of who I am.
There you go. Shit. Straight dropping bars. Pat, did you catch it when she said, here I go and there's no limits? Did you catch that?
Look, first did off, you catch you that? You ain't even finished the battle rap yet. We don't want, we're not going to do this.
I'm just saying, I caught it.
What is interesting, though, is especially when you talk about giving out so much, it's something that, and I could be wrong, but from my perspective, it's something that I see a lot, especially from women, from Black women. They give out so much and they rarely take the time to just sit back and say, hey, I need this for me. Like, I need something. Or even like looking out at their relationships and saying, I'm giving out a lot of energy to all of these other people. Why isn't anybody giving anything back to me? Like, why am I up all hours of the night helping you deal with your problems? But then when I have problems, I'm up all hours of the night dealing with my stuff by myself. And I'm always curious when I talk to people that are saying, you know, I had to realize that I had to take time for me. Was there a moment in your mind where like something clicked and it was just like, you know what, boom? Or was it like a gradual process? How did that evolution take place?
When I was going through my second marriage, and I realized it seemed like I was doing extra stuff, and I felt unappreciated, and I was like, why am I constantly feeling this way? It was familiar. Why am I constantly feeling this way? And so I had to look at the area of expectation, right? And so sometimes as women, what we do, even dealing with men, is men are so simple. I believe we make you all complicated. We do. And we'll ask, so what do you want? Oh, I just want a glass of juice. And we want to fix you some eggs. We want to he just won't choose.
Right.
He just won't choose. And so, and I'm sharing that example to say this. I realized that I was groomed, I shall say, because not just me as that Black woman, I realized that my mama did it. My grandma did it. And I'm sure the others before they did it, right? We have to be this one word, not multiple words, it's one word. I've read multiple articles on it. Strong Black woman. One word.
That's one word. Strong Black woman.
It's only one word.
Gotcha.
So even though we know that it's multiple words, we actually adopted it as one word. So that means we have there's a certain expectation that we have to meet in order for us to call ourselves a strong Black woman. So I got to carry something else that don't belong to me. I got to do things that actually belongs to somebody else or somebody else should be doing, right? And then we wonder why nobody is taking responsibility, because you've actually taken it. Why they're not learning it, because you've done it and you're doing it. And so I had to sit down and evaluate. Yeah. You know, like, wait a minute, I know I'm a spoiler, and I am, that's me. But I was like, even as a spoiler, let me go back and I got to reevaluate some stuff. Mm-hmm. There are certain things I should not be doing. And even if maybe I'm going overboard, maybe I'm doing too much, because my just enough is always still more than enough, because I'm going to make sure you're okay. Right? I'm a servant at heart. That's who I am. That's right. Me. I'm just, even my girls, they tell me cook breakfast. I got the little small bowls. I'm putting the fruit in the bowl. I'm doing this. It's the presentation, right? Because for me, it's an experience. When you've gone through some of the things that I've actually gone through, you never know when it's going to be the last moment, right? And so I've learned to enjoy those moments. And so for me, it was my second marriage. All these things that I was doing, and I was still feeling the same way. Why are you still feeling the same way, Kushibra? Why are you still getting the same results? Oh, because I'm doing the same thing, but I'm expecting nothing else to change or turn out differently. That's why. And so I said, okay, let me kind of sit back a little bit, still being responsible for what I'm supposed to do. And let me just watch. And when I sat down and I had the conversation, and I realized what I evaluated was true. I was doing too much. I didn't have to do all the extra things, but I was taught that. I was taught you have to go overboard. But guess what? The reason why I was taught that from certain individuals, because during that time, even though we're dealing with it now with racism and all of that, during that time, they couldn't read, right? They wasn't good enough. They couldn't stand before. Guess what? A lot of things have changed. So my granny only taught me based on what she knew. And so here I am carrying those same things until where we are now. No, I don't have to do that. Not because I don't have the education that somebody else has. Because I have multiple friends that have all kinds of degrees. But certain things, guess what? They'll call me and say, hey, listen, Q, I was actually looking at this. What you think about this? Well, respect it. And it's because I own it. Not because I want to be this strong Black woman, one word. No, I realize that I'm strong and I could actually use that word in any area of my life. Of course, I know I'm Black, right? And I understand the power that I have as being a woman. And so I can use those words in multiple ways instead of feeling like I got to keep carrying the loads of my grandmama or my ancestors when mental health has never been discussed. Mm. So I have a therapist. It's phenomenal. You understand? I believe God. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. But honey, listen to me. My therapist is phenomenal. I love him dearly. I love him dearly. You understand? Because he's been patient with me. He believed in me. He allowed me to be me. Sometimes he'd be like, who's showing up today? I said, hey, we're going to see when I sit down and start talking. But he allowed me to be me, to go through those things. So that's what that molding matrimony is, because I was going through so many things in my past and I started to think that my past was all bad. No, it wasn't. I have access to a lot of great things in my past. And there are a lot of keys that I needed for my future that was still in my past. Because I shut it down thinking that, oh, I done changed my life. I'm starting all over. No, there were some good things that I had. And I had to go back and get those things. And so now that's where I operate from, that particular place of just being passionate to say, hey, listen, it's okay to have a therapist.
Right.
It's okay to have a mentor. It's okay to, for somebody else to tell you what to do and not me having to be the controlling one where I got to be in control all the time. I don't have to be. One thing I told my ex is, listen to me. I got nothing but skirts, because I don't ever want you to think I'm trying to wear your pants. I know my place. But guess what? I ain't always been like that.
Right.
But that's how I was raised. But I had to learn that that doesn't work for me. And I don't want my girls to think that that's the way you're supposed to be. No, you let the man be the man. You let whoever is in that leadership position be that. And when it's your turn, you learn how to sit back. Be quiet. You don't have to say anything. You ain't got to agree with everything. You can agree to disagree. It's okay. But when your turn comes, it's your turn to do what you need to do. So I believe mental health, honestly, is something that we don't talk about enough. We don't take our time. So when we get frustrated, we get angry because our expectations are in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. We shut down instead of knowing how to reroute some things. So I've learned how to reroute some things without shutting down.
Right. Right. Now that's real. That's real. Because you, as you're talking, I know you're not trying to do it. You're just speaking from the heart, but you keep giving good transitional parts of it because you found your voice. Mm-hmm. You found your voice. You're not afraid to speak out anymore. And that has led to you becoming an empowerment speaker, a motivational speaker, a voice for others. Mm-hmm. So, how did you get started, not just as a coach, but as a speaker? Like, how did you get started as a speaker? And when others come to hear you speak, like, what can people expect? What is the experience like that you create for those who come to hear you speak?
Okay. So as far as my starting journey, I believe it was actually my first year in college. I signed up for a Bible college, but they had a leadership program because I knew it was more than just the spiritual side. And like I shared that I know I'm called to leadership. So I needed to learn the language of leadership, whether it was adults or children, young individuals who were aspiring leaders. So I needed to learn that particular language. I knew over 10 years that I learned a lot in reference to, you know, church language or ministry language. I learned a lot as far as that. But I knew that my journey consists of ministry also and business in the marketplace. And so a lot of those opportunities actually came from being in school and being in certain, you know, positions that I was willing to step up and actually help in. And so, like I shared earlier, a lot of people actually saw it. And they would say, Q, can you come and do this? Of course, the first thing I would say in my head was no. But I would actually show up even during my public speaking class in college. And because I always honestly thought that I didn't speak well, because that came from that seed that was planted by that teacher. And right. So, and then of course, coming from a certain, growing up in Memphis, I was like, well, I don't say this right. And of course, my adjectives may not line up in this. So I thought maybe you had to almost speak perfectly in order to be a speaker. And so what I did do is I took the public speaking class, and my professor would always be in there. She was like, oh my gosh, oh my God. I was like, oh my gosh, she is making it so uncomfortable for me. And so my classmates would always say, you should be an attorney. You should be a lawyer because you're just a force to be reckoned. I'm like, oh my gosh, will they just please leave me alone? I'm just trying to get an A. That's all I'm trying to get. I'm just trying to get an A so I can go sit down. And my professor, she would actually reach out to me because she would, can you send me your notes? And I was like, this lady is doing some phenomenal thing. Why would she want my notes? And so I would push it over to the side. And so they would have different programs. Q, can you actually do this? And I would do it. And it was just me doing it, but never really had the confidence of believing that I was actually doing it. And so when I started to look back and hear myself speak, and I was like, wow, this is really you. So I realized that I wanted to be a speaker, but I was so scared. I didn't know how people would receive me. And so I learned to just continue to embrace it and just embrace it. So I started, I remember praying one day and I talking to one of my leaders, and I said, hey, listen, I need to go to a speaking class. And he started laughing, and I was mad at him for like 7 years. I didn't even talk to him. I was mad. And so I realized later on, he didn't laugh at me. He was basically saying, this girl have no clue what she have. And so it's like a gift. You know, it comes all wrapped up, all pretty, right? And that's all it is if you keep it wrapped up. Until you actually start removing all the goodies and all the pretty, cute stuff, you never know what's inside of the gift. And right. So that's what I had to learn how to do. So when individuals do hear me speak and hear what it is that I have to say, my biggest thing is I want individuals to, of course, hear my passion and know that this is not something that she's actually just talking. I can tell that this girl has actually been through some things, and she's taking what she's actually gone through and helping others. I'm not scared to reach back. And because some people are actually, they get to a certain place and they're scared to reach back. I'm not a part of that. No, I'm not who I used to be years ago, but I can communicate with that person. So I know what it's like, because I know what it's like being in that situation. I know what it's like, you know, not knowing if this is what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do this. I know, no, I'm not going to act like I don't know. Yes, I do know. And so I want individuals to be able to not only hear me, but see me, to know that she was actually in a place where when I see her, because when I usually walk in the room, they're like, okay, who is she? Right. And then when I start speaking, they're like, wait a minute, how come we never heard from her? Because like I shared, it wasn't time for me to speak out. There have been many opportunities over the years I said no to because it wasn't time for me to speak out. There were some things I needed to get together. Right. I've seen so many individuals get up and they start these different things on their own time. And next thing you know, they have a nervous breakdown or you don't hear from them anymore. So I started doing research. Yeah. Why are these things happening? Because they hit a certain part in their lives that they never really dealt with. And so now the skeletons are running rapidly. They're running wild. You're trying to figure out which one said what or did what. No, let's deal with the skeletons now. So when it's my turn, if the skeleton decide to show up, I'll say, baby, come on, sit here. You ain't got to tell my story. I can tell my own story, right? Because you may actually end up missing, you know, the gushy, gushy, good stuff, right? So I want individuals to experience not just for me, but the God in me, what God is able to do. That's what I want individuals to hear and to know that there was once a time that I felt like my words didn't come out right. I went through a speaker's program. I spoke my first speech and they were like, Kishiba, we got to prepare you for Washington, D.C. I was like, what the? No. Sir, I'm going through. I'm just writing these speeches so I can have a way out, right? But they had no clue that I was using the things that I was going through at that time to have, I had vision during that time. That was the only thing I had was the Toastmasters program that I ended up signing up for. Not because I didn't know if I had a voice, I needed to know how to separate my ministry voice from my business voice. So I needed to find the voice in certain areas. So when I'm talking to individuals, I'm not going up there saying, well, Lord, the Lord say, it ain't time for that, right? They don't want to hear that, right? But I'm able to actually sit at the table and orchestrate a business deal without having to preach to you. But I'm sharing with you knowing that it's my passion more so than anything.
Right. Now that's interesting. Also, the fact that you, like you're talking about, coming from Memphis and those who know, we all from the South and we say things special, but, and this one thing that I had to come to grips with myself, cause hey, every word don't come out all pristine the way people say it's supposed to, but then it's like, okay, so what really is standard English? What really is that? But also it's about how I communicate this message. And of course, I need to be clear enough for people to understand. But if people understand what I'm saying, then I most likely have done a pretty good job of communicating myself. And it's just being able to get to that point that did they understand what you said? Because it might have came out with a little twang, but did they get it? Did they understand it? Can they use it? If so, okay, you good enough. Right. And it looks like that's what you had to learn over the years, because people are constantly telling you, like, Kishiba, you good. And you just not hearing it because you weren't in the space to hear that at that time. But then when you finally took a look at what you were doing, the quality of the work that you were putting out, you're like, oh, shoot. Now, okay, that's me.
Right. Yeah. Also, see, I'm a licensed cosmetologist as well. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, you know, in cosmetology, you're taught all these different things as far as not just hair. You taught how to cut hair. You taught how to do nails and feet and you taught how to do all these things. But guess what? You can't do all that in the shop at one time.
Right.
You have to find out what you specialize in, master that, and serve your audience.
Right.
And so I heard individuals tell me you're good. I needed to find out what I'm good at. You understand? Right. And so this is what I teach in one of my workshops. Of course, it's an acronym, but it's, I teach a potluck workshop. And so the potluck is basically, of course, we love to eat, right? And so we're in order for us to eat, we have to realize that each one of us can bring something to the table. And so most of the time, back in the day, they used to always tell me, I want you to bring the spaghetti. And of course, the spaghetti were good, but guess what? I learned how to make lasagna. I learned how to make something else. And so what I did is once I was confident in that particular space, I let somebody else bring the spaghetti. And so I use that same analogy in business and ministry. This season may be my season, but the next season may not be my season for me to actually speak and say something. And I'm confident enough to know that where I'm able to give someone else a turn. And right. So even though people are saying, you can do this, you can do it, I get that. I need to find my space. I know my audience, because I tell people all the time, business and ministry. Ministry, I'm called to the BBB ministry. That's broken, bound, and bruised. That's ministry for me. And so when I'm actually doing workshops, I'm actually speaking, I'm sharing, I'm preparing my material for those areas, for those individuals who are dealing with those particular areas. I know my audience. For the business side, open, ready, and willing. If you're not open, if you're not ready, and willing, because you may not be able to take heed to what I'm sharing with you, right? And right. So over years, I felt like I had to deal with individuals that I was in that space. And so I felt like I was hungry. I wasn't getting fed because I wasn't doing what I love to do. And so right. I always wanted to be in a space knowing that that's my purpose, that regardless if I'm getting paid to do it or not, I'm doing what I love to do. And what I love to do in my space, I call it my grace space, is teaching. And so long as I'm in that area, I'm good.
There you go. Now, we both definitely understand that, because that's something I had to learn myself on my journey, what I was good at. Yes, I have a voice, but how to use my voice? What's the best way to use my voice? And it's teaching, educating, mm-hmm. Giving the information in that specific way. Yes. Man, Ms. Kushiba, I was ready for this interview. But I wasn't ready for this interview. I knew you was gonna bring it, but shoot, you got me ready to go. I'm ready to go climb a tree or something, or just like I want to go make the world better right now. Shoot, but nah, I mean, like, because, like I say, the passion that you're talking with, and just everything that you're bringing to the table is definitely inspiring, and it's definitely good to be acquainted with someone like yourself, because you know, you hang with winners. You ain't got no choice but to win.
That's right.
And like, once again, you've blessed this platform with your words, with your energy, with your power, and everything that you bring to the table. And you already know, if there's anything that we can help you with, reach out. Reach out. We'll definitely be there. But
I appreciate that.
No problem. So we've gotten to this Patrick question. The final question is Patrick's question. So, Patrick, we don't have the drum roll.
Yeah, hold on. I need to wipe my hand, because Patrick been coming with you. Patrick been getting all deep.
Yeah, you see him? Brother Shabazz.
Joe said, I play too much.
Whatever. I did not say that.
That's what he said. It's on tape, Joseph. Hey,
but you bringing it, though. Hey, that's what I'm like, wait a minute.
So it's the same question we've been asking for the last 5 years, and actually the last interview we had was September 15th, 2015. Mm-hmm. So and when I asked this question then, you said that you wanted the community to improve the communication and to actually build a community. And so we're going to ask the same question again. If you were the all-powerful, all-capable ruler of Black America, what would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
Awesome. So if I had that opportunity, the biggest thing is I would communicate to the people to let them know that even though that we may be this big world, the only way we could actually bring change is by starting within our communities, you know, the small parts of our communities. One of the things that I would actually do is go into the different communities, whether it's in certain states or, you know, all different parts of the world, and create a safe space for individuals to come and actually more so than anything, it'll have a lot to do with leadership, pretty much what I do now. Leadership, mentorship, entrepreneurship, these areas, because our pretty much our platform is the SHIP, which is an acronym. We take individuals from where they are to where it is that they desire to be. And so what I will actually do is allow them to have different workshops and different gatherings to actually be taught. I believe a lot of the things that we struggle with on today is that we keep putting people on the front line to do what? They don't know what to do because we haven't sat down with them and teaching them what we need to do instead of basically saying our ancestors did that, we did that. Okay, that's the part we get. But what has actually happened from there up until now? Not is, something has transpired, but we need to identify what has transpired. We need to go back and see what strategies did we use, right? Are we going to use the same ones or not? I think a lot of times what actually happens is when we, even in certain positions, we actually just, it's almost like from churches to earth, people have to die in order for the position to actually, we can vote somebody else in. It's so hard for people to be transitioned out. And so during that time, you work with individuals, you train them, and you bring somebody else in when it's your time to actually move on. That way, the torch and the fire keeps burning, right? Instead of the flame actually going out and we the next person comes, now we got to find out where's the torch. Did they burn it last time? How far did we go? What actually happened? We don't know those things. So leadership, as far as the teaching and implementing what to do, how to do it, not just what not to do, but if you talk to people about what to do and people get a chance to see the differences in that, people will actually, they'll cheer for you and they'll be right there to support you. So I would do from one community to the next, whatever that program is, whatever it is, you know, I used to have what they have, neighborhood watch, right? When everybody in certain communities. And so they knew when something looked suspicious, right? Somebody made a call, right? What you see? I saw this and whatever that is. You put people in certain positions, you train them. And so you prepare them before you actually put them on the front line. I believe a lot of us are not able to get what we need to get done is because we're not healed.
Yeah.
We're not healed. And so giving them that space to where they could actually heal and still do what it is that they're passionate in doing. Because even with a lot of things that we've actually had going on, my experience is a little different, you know, because when I went through with my son, it had nothing to do with racism, right? That was black on black. You understand? So for me, my perspective is I'm still there all day long. But for me, based on what I would have the opportunity to do is how do we create this space, right? Whether it's a clinic, whether it's a gathering, what is educating each other. Not saying you got to go to college, but come to this space where let's talk. What it is that you want to do. Let me tell you what we could actually help you do. And when you actually have these different communities being developed, individuals learning certain things, where they ain't got to speak a certain way. They ain't got to walk a certain way. They ain't got to dress a certain way. They just got to know, you got to know who to put in the front to actually help to navigate what it is that you're doing before we actually just throw people out there and say, oh, she's going to take care of because she got this amount of education when it comes to that. Don't you know I hired somebody that had over 20 years of education when I was in childcare and found out later on her resume was phenomenal, but found out later on that she hadn't been in childcare in like 15 years.
Because she's spending all her time in education instead of practical.
You understand? So for me, right? And then she done, something almost happened. She almost got me on the news. So I was like, baby, we're not doing that. And so now I take our time with people. Let's sit down and talk. I see your resume.
Yeah.
Let's sit down and talk. Let me hear you.
Are you capable?
Y'all can watch your body language too, because we actually think that the most language is actually spoken verbally. It's not. Non-verbally, we speak more. Because I could be sitting up here talking to you and I'm actually sharing. I could be like,
and you're like, right. I'm just
It's speaking louder, right? Yeah. And so we'll give them the opportunity based on what it is that I already do. Now, just different parts of entrepreneurship, whether it's consultantship, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's mentorship, whether it's leadership, whatever that ship is, I will give them that opportunity to be able to be trained, to heal, to be equipped, get what it is that they need, and even to find out what it is that they don't even know that they need before I actually put them in a certain position. And believe it or not, once that part actually becomes contagious, Not only the big world will change, because before we can get the big world to change, our inner world's got to change.
There you go. AllVisionsForAll.com. AllVisionz, the number four, AllVisionz.com is her website. Man, go visit. Don't stop playing. Go visit that website right now. Like, I'm getting country. Like, right now. Go visit her website right now. Like, how can you hear what she's saying and then don't go visit the website and don't go check her out and don't go support her? Like, we are always talking about making sure that we have spaces to build people up. And then when the people get built up, we got to make sure we continue to support these people. Mm-hmm. So, Miss Q, she be like, you just sprinkle black girl magic all over this thing right here. And we ain't cleaning up nothing. We're going to leave it all on here. Because you came and sprinkled it all on it. AllVisionsForAll.com is your website. What are other places that people can connect with you or learn more about you?
Actually, as of right now, I do have multiple platforms, but I'm actually extending an invitation for individuals to visit our online community, which is AllVisionsForAll.com. And also from my page, you get a chance to see some of the things that my girls are actually doing. They're actually brand ambassadors, so they're doing a couple of things as well. I have one that's an entrepreneur, actually two that are entrepreneurs, and one that's actually walking in that particular journey. So all of that information is on there along with their pages as well, because I wanted to make sure before, like I said, it's more than just the books and the material and the different things that we're doing. I want people to get a chance to know who we are and where we actually come from. And so I call it our online platform, which is The Avenue.
Okay. Check out The Avenue. You did it. You came and did your thing. I don't know what else to say. I'm trying to say something, but you did your thing. Pat, you got me.
No, you're not listening. She said you got to know when to speak and when not to.
Patrick. See,
I've been listening. It don't sound like you've been listening, Joseph.
We still got to entertain people, Patrick, okay?
We don't. That was entertaining enough. Roll the credits.
See,
you shooting yourself in the foot. You ever watch a good fighter and after they have like a phenomenal fight, right? They win the championship back and all of this, and then they go fight the next fight, get knocked out. And everybody's like, bro, you should just quit when you was ahead. Some stuff you just can't follow. What you're doing right now is getting knocked out.
Where's your mute button? Okay.
Getting knocked out.
Whatever. Hey, man.
You want to take another punch?
Forget you, man.
Punch, get knocked out.
All right. Hey, y'all. It's Free to Train podcast series, the greatest podcast out here. Y'all know we've been entertaining you all for the past 5 or 6 years. And Ms. Kishiba, thank you for coming back and talking with us on the Freedom Train. And we'll definitely look forward to keeping up with you and talking to you again in the future. Yeah. So everybody, allvisionsforall.com. Make sure you visit our website, freedomtrainradio.com. And we will see you all next week. Peace out.